May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. A few months ago, as families were making their summer plans, a certain series of events started to unfold all over the Diocese of Massachusetts. Just down the road in Natick, parents were marking their calendars for St. Paul's Church Week at Camp. And in Brockton, a team of clergy from Nigeria and Kenya were planning to get the kids from their church out of the city for just a little while. In one town, a little boy who all year long has to play ice hockey started to get excited for his role in the musical at camp. In another town, an undocumented immigrant mother who is taking sanctuary, living in a church basement, said to her priest, "I think I have to send my son back to our home country. I can't keep him in a basement forever." And her priest said, "I think I know a safe place where he can get a break." And last week, kids from all of these places and many more gathered at the diocesan camp, named after Barbara C. Harris, our retired bishop, who was also the first female bishop ever consecrated in the global Anglican Communion. These kids came to camp with all their things in suitcases or duffel bags or garbage bags. They came prepared or not. They came knowing what to expect or not. Some had been camping for years and others had never walked on an unpaved road before. And I spent last week at Barbara C. Harris Camp as a chaplain, so I got to see it all. And every time I go up to that camp, I am blown away by its diversity in every dimension. The kids come from so many different backgrounds of race and class and faith. The counselors come from all over the world. And every week, new campers roll in, and so the whole community is built again from scratch. And community building with such disparate members is hard work and sometimes comes with some teachable moments, the nicer phrase we use for pain. We can still cause pain even when our intentions are only good. It was painful at camp to watch a white camper ask her black cabin mate why her hair was still braided after she took a shower. Did she wash her hair? Was it still dirty? The counselor was smart enough to jump into that conversation pretty fast. Or when an international counselor had to tell the boys in his cabin that their mimicking his accent might have been all in good fun, but it was starting to hurt his feelings a little bit, and would they please stop? But we know that for as long as Christians have lived in community, there have been people from different backgrounds working to understand each other and sometimes making mistakes. Look at the Jews and the Gentiles in Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And remember how much conflict there was in the early church about whether Gentiles could even be followers of Jesus. And even once they were accepted as members of the church, there was much more work to do before they were fully included in its life. And Paul gives us a little hint of what they were up against. Imagine worshiping with people who called you the uncircumcision, an alien from the commonwealth, a stranger to the covenant. There's a big difference between being allowed to show up and being welcomed as a full member of the community. But Paul, who was himself Jewish, called himself the apostle to the Gentiles. He was one of the strongest advocates for Gentile inclusion in the early church. And what Paul says today is that it is possible to build community across difference, even profound difference with deep, hostile roots. And the secret, he says, is not to ignore our differences or try to pretend that they don't exist, but to let Christ break down the dividing walls between us. He says to his readers, you may think, and you may have good reason to think, that these groups can never be reconciled. But remember, in his flesh, Christ has made both groups into one and reconciled both groups through the cross, not only to each other, but to God. And what a beautiful message. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints. And you are even built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And Paul underlines that a few times. You are built together, whether or not you have anything in common, whether or not you even like each other. Only when you join together can you truly become a worthy dwelling place for God. So this is Paul's challenge to the Christians in Ephesus. But it comes down through the centuries and it confronts us as the body of Christ today. And the question now is, whom have we been treating as strangers and aliens in our midst? And could it be that we are built together spiritually with them? And last week I watched the kids at camp join together and grow into a holy temple. They figured out how to make friends across difference. They sang together in worship and praise of God. On the last day, they were crying and hugging each other and trading Instagram handles and promising to stay in touch. And at our final worship service, every camper took a stone and laid it on the altar with a prayer to God for one thing they hoped to take home from camp with them and one thing they were ready to leave behind. To take home new confidence or new faith or a new friend, to leave behind old shyness, old prejudice, an old fear of the unknown. To leave behind an old life as a stranger and an alien and take home a new identity as a citizen with the saints and a member of the household of God. And I wonder what that could look like for us as we work to build our community in this parish and outside it. If our salvation is truly bound up with those we treat as strangers and aliens, and Paul seems to say it is, what do we need God to do in our hearts to help us instead recognize them as our fellow saints? What is one thing we can take home from church today? What is one thing we're ready to leave behind? And we can only pray that the God who has given us the will to do these things will give each of us the grace and power to perform them. Amen.